Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, friends. Welcome to your belated single edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast this week. Sorry we've not caught up with you to date. Time off, bank holiday, Sunday games threw us right out. But we're back finally to bring you a weekly podcast. And this will be something of a season review, as well as a kind of looking into the mailbag and various other bits and bats that we'll get to. I am Mark Keith. I'm your host. Joining me are my three best friends, the Wet Bandits and the Bearded Prospect. I'm going to start with you, Roscoe. Because not only are you wearing branded material, branded by one of our sponsors, Ginger Pickle, you've also just been on a work holiday with said sponsor. You've been to Holland to interview various folks for your In Pictures series. Clearly, this is a responsible working trip. You're only drinking water and eating lean protein the whole time you're out there. How was it?
It was great. It was a great trip. Shout out to Tony Southgate, of course, as you mentioned, from Ginger Pickle. He planned a lot of it, to be fair. He did the hotel, did the flights, did the driving standard. Of course, I had some input as well, but it was all hands-on. He loved it, and it was great. Yeah.
You were just surrounded by enablers, people who drive you everywhere, people who work out holidays for you, and all you got to do is essentially just turn up and just be Ross. Must be a wonderful life you live.
I sorted out the interviews and I did the interviews. to be fair, a fun little thing, we actually got a lift by Fabian Wilness, who was part of the interview. We also got a lift by Gus Uhlenbeek because they just said, you want a lift to the base of the venue? And we were like, yeah, go on in. And of course, we had a car. Tony rented a car for the...
Which Tony drove, clearly, obviously, yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. And he actually experienced driving in, you know, a foreign country for the first time. So big props to Tony as well.
Fortunately, mate, he had an experienced driver like you sitting next to him to help him with all of the issues that arose.
I love that concept. Ross is just shipped to and from places. Then he just the screen goes on, he switches on, the talent's here. Let's do some interviews. So, Ross, who did you speak to? Who's coming up? Because we're going to release these over the summer, obviously.
Yes.
Who have we got to look forward to?
So, yeah, first up was Gus Uhlenbeek, played in the 90s for Town. Yeah. Flying fullback, it was great. Gus, just a fictitious laugh. Then it was Martin Reusser, the man who scored Reusser Premiership. We went to the Dutch FA, which is very interesting, very posh. Nice. Maybe not as big as St George's Park, but Dutch FA was very impressive. Didn't see any, you know, Dutch players. You know, big Dutch players. They probably playing still. You know, anyway, he was great. Then Fabian Wilness, we went to his place. We were going to do it at a restaurant, but we then turned up and we're like, this is probably not a good idea, Fabian. It's going to be loud. Yeah. So the end, he went, okay, I'll give you a lift to my house. And we went to his apartment and we did it there. And then Pim Bolkstein, who played for two seasons, he actually set up Sparta Rotterdam. He just rang up them and said, yeah, can we film an interview here? And they went, yeah, no problem. Because he played there as a youth and his dad played there as well. Good locations, Rotterdam, Amsterdam, Zeist. It was a very good trip.
I've lots of questions. First of all, is Martin Reusser still a ridiculously good-looking man?
He's very handsome, very handsome man.
And number two, obviously, you're in Amsterdam. I know it was a working professional trip, so as I say, you were on water the whole time and eating very healthily as well. I assume there's no stories from the road that you can share because you were in bed at sort of 6 p.m. every day to make sure you were rested for the next day's interview.
Well, some of our interviews were later than that, so we went in bed at 6 p.m. It weren't as messy as you probably think it would be. Because it was, we were really busy, like traveling to Rotterdam and to Zeist and stuff, and we were just, the time just escaped us. And by the time we were like going to go to Amsterdam the first night, it was like 10:30, and we were staying like outskirts of Amsterdam, so it would take us like half an hour to get basically a metro. Yeah, and we're just knackered. So I'm sorry to say, the first night was a bit of a Yeah, very boring, actually. We just got a Just Eat pizza and just ate in the hotel. Oh. And then the second day, we had two interviews to do. And then when we left Fabian in Rotterdam about half nine, and we then got a train to Amsterdam. We went out in Amsterdam, and that all stayed with me and Tony. But then we got a train home, and it got like halfway, it got cancelled. So we had to like go into Den Haag, and we had to get Uber back to our thing, and we didn't get in until like 3 or 4 a.m. And then, yeah, the rest is history. But yeah, shout out to Tony, because he was a fine gentleman and a very good person part of this trip.
What happens on tour stays on tour. Amsterdam, yeah. By the way, what a city. It's one of my favourite cities. I love the fact in Amsterdam, obviously, for many, many reasons, but one of my favourite things about Amsterdam is you can walk into a cheese shop and basically eat your own weight in cheese and no one stops you. Just fill your boots. Fantastic. The Wet Bandits are with me, of course, as well. Boys, how are you? Stewie, we've been busy this morning. How are you, Stewie? You're kind of sitting a bit in the dark.
Yeah, I'm all right. Sorry. Yeah, it's not the best location for this. I have some questions. It's very much the Wet Bandits, not the Bedwetters, yep. which somebody tried to change it to on social media. None of that. Thank you yep. very much. Haven't done that since at least I was 15. what else was I going to ask? Yeah, why do you have to eat lean protein on work trips? Because I have not been adhering to that when travelling up and down the A1 every weekend.
The body's a temple, Stu, as you know. As you know, how much protein you need to take in to fuel those guns. And when you're in work business, a responsible reporter/athlete would only be consuming lean protein, especially in Amsterdam.
I don't know if Peterborough Services give you much lean protein options with its meal choices.
I had a steak in Amsterdam. So
I saw it look very nice. That looked a tremendous meal, Rossi, I must say. Very, very good.
We panicked, though. When we got to Amsterdam, we were hungry. We hadn't eaten since like breakfast.
He was hungry.
But Tony actually mentioned to me, there's moments where he felt, I don't know, he was worried about me. Because I think if I've not eaten for a while, my level would just goes a bit down and a bit like, when I ate, I was like, I was alive, and yeah. But we panicked, though. We went to the first thing we saw. We should have maybe explored a bit more. When we actually left, we were like, oh, we could have gone there. But yeah, it was a nice steak. But
I assume while you were in Amsterdam, you went to the Rijksmuseum, the Rembrandt Museum, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Next time. Jeff. Yeah, absolutely. Hutchie, you're a fellow fan of Amsterdam. We conversed about Amsterdam many times. How are you?
Do we really have to talk about the football season? That's a line. A line's been drawn under that, hasn't it? That's old news. I just want to hear more about this trip.
Maybe we could do. You know, like I used to do Hollyoaks later,
late night
sort of versions, late night Hollyoaks. Maybe we could do a KOA sort of behind the scenes of Ross's Amsterdam trip, and I think that we could really push some subscriptions with that one.
I was going to say, that would be pay-per-view, wouldn't it? We'd definitely have to be over 18 to view that. We did talk about doing a behind-the-scenes bit, didn't we, Rossi? I don't know if that's something that's coming amongst all your footage you've got.
Yeah, there will be behind-the-scenes, but, of course, I haven't included that sort of behind-the-scenes. It's mainly like going to where like the Dutch FA, Sparta Rotterdam, and you know other little locations, but not other places.
To be fair, if you are seen sort of filming stuff in the red light district, Ross, you'll just get your head kicked in, won't you?
Exactly. So, they don't take very kindly to that. I'm told. friends, before we move on to the football, I'm very much enjoying this jovial start to the chat, and it's quite refreshing not to have a game really to talk about. Two major things happening at the moment. One happened over the weekend, the coronation, and the other thing, which is a coronation of a Eurovision Song Contest winner this weekend. Are we up for this? Hutchie, you strike me as a big Eurovision fan.
Do you want me to be?
Want you to be whatever you are.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, yeah, I quite like Eurovision sometimes. I'll watch a little bit of it. That's all I can really offer you, mate, I'm afraid. I've let you down there. I'm not as big a fan as I might give off the... give off the impression that I am. Why are Australia in it?
I'm led to believe they were invited in one year, weren't they, as an anniversary thing, and they've stayed. But you were bang on last year, Hutchie. I think you predicted the winners last year, as I recall.
Did I?
As part of your... Yeah, you said lump all the money on the Ukraine, and Julie
Well, yeah.
Stewie, did you watch the coronation? I know you were part of that. You were probably traveling to Fleetwood. Did you swear allegiance to the king? Obviously, there is only four true kings. Charlie will argue otherwise, but
No, we was on the road. We was on the road to Fleetwood. You are correct.
Yeah.
Andy's not giving you a great deal on Eurovision chat. I haven't got a huge amount of coronation chat in me. Alan Partridge shrug, gif. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I probably should have pre-warned you about that pre-show, but I just got carried away, boys. So having such a nice time just talking around things generally. Shall we talk about football? This is the season review show. I don't really want to talk about the Fleetwood game because by the sound of it, it was a very much after the Lord Mayor's show sort of affair. So I thought what we'd do for a bit of fun, which is what we're all about here, is go back and look at our predictions from before the big kickoff and see how we got on. And I'll mix that in with a bunch of mailbag. But before we get to that, there is something we have to talk about, which has happened today, which is quite a nice talking point. Stu, this morning, one of football's very, very good, nice gentlemen, Cole Skuse, was unveiled as a new boss of Bury Town. How do you think he's going to do? Does that seem a good fit? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think if anyone's sort of personality and overall demeanour is suited to management, I think it's Coles. We've talked a long time about Luke Chambers and Cole Skuse going into management, possibly together. Luke is so close to sort of hitting some records with the number of appearances he's made in his career. I think he's focused on sort of chasing those down and carrying on playing. But Cole's had some injuries towards the end of this season at Colchester and has decided now's the time for him to move into it. So he's one of football's good guys. He's got a very calming sort of aura about him. Just a good, solid family man that's got... You always remember Mick McCarthy's quote about his sort of sense of humour. It's very dry. It's like an Exocet missile. You know, the piss take is coming from Cole. You just don't know when. And I think he's someone that probably a group of non-league players will really, really respond to and want to play for and do well for. So, yeah, wish him well with that. I'm sure it's going to take him a little while to get his head around, as it is with all footballers, that you've when pre-season starts again, you're not coming in to run around and train and have that routine anymore. But I think it will suit him quite nicely. And Bury have got a real history of sticking with their managers. Mm. I think he's only the third appointment this century. They've had Richard Wilkins for about 14 years, then Ben Chenery did the best part of a decade, and now Cole steps in as well. So yeah, I think all Ipswich fans will be wishing him well, and they might pick up a few extra town fans maybe next season.
Yeah, so it seems to be a really solid place for him to start. And obviously he's got Alan Lee there as well, hasn't he? So there's another town link as well. Hutchie, what do you make of Cole Skuse going into management, starting in non-league? There was obviously not too long ago, we're talking about him and Chambers potentially making a management team to kick off their management career. And we talked about the chance of that happening at Colchester.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have done... Anyone kind of going straight into management in the EFL is going to have to be the kind of right place, right time. And this just feels very Cole Skuse to me. He's got a kind of an ongoing day job with St. Joe's College, coaching there and doing some stuff. Combine that with this, I think he'll adapt quite nicely to life after professional football. He'll be just fine. Growing ranks of former Ipswich midfielders managing in local non-league. Luke Higham is at Woodbridge. Maybe they could have a little pre-season game between those two old colleagues now in the dugout. That would be nice. I'd probably
There's
go
Kevin
and watch
Horlock
that
as well, isn't there? Kevin Horlock can need him as well. So
yeah.
A few decent clashes there, perhaps. Right then, Rossi, we're going to start season review now. Not season preview. It's far too early for that. Jumping down big time. I have here all of our predictions from every single category pre-season, which we committed our professional reputations to. Where would you like us to start, Ross? I've got the categories. Best summer signing, leading scorer, MVP. I'd suggest you don't start there. surprise package. Where will town finish? What will the top two be? Who will make the playoffs? Who are the dark horses? And who is going to be relegated? So of those categories, which would you like to start with?
Let's do position town will finish, because finally we're out of the League One, so I think that's the
okay. Well, Ross, You've picked a good one there for you and me, my friend, because you and me both said second. What can we say? The guys who are paid big money to cover Ipswich Town and lead
huge,
that coverage.
Huge money.
Huge money. Massive money.
Silly Stu, money, if anything. Silly money,
absolutely. Stu said fourth.
Yeah.
Andy said third. Defend yourselves, gentlemen. You were so wrong.
Miles out, weren't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I can't remember the words I wrote with it, but it was to do with something to do with heart and head, and my head sort of leading them towards top two, but the pain of the past just prevented me from... It was almost like, you know, we talked about leading up to the last few games, and I think heading into Barnsley, just not almost wanting to jinx it, you know, it felt like that. And that's how I felt going into the season. It felt like things were on solid foundations, but I just... At that stage, I couldn't bring myself to commit to it.
Rossi, these jokers don't know what they're talking about. It was always obvious it was going to be second, wasn't it, for you and me? How do you feel now, sitting back and having absolutely nailed it?
Yeah. I went with my heart this season. Normally, I would go with my head. Stu was saying that. I just went with my heart. I went, we've had shit League One campaigns. And I just thought, you know what? They're going to do it this year. And they did it. So, well done. Kim McKenna and co. And
so what you're saying is, Ross, is your head says you thought they weren't going to do it.
Yeah, pretty much. But my heart, just, you know,
okay.
blue heart and all that. So, yeah.
And you say well done, Kieran McKenna, and that, but really it's well done us, isn't it, Rossi? Because we absolutely nailed it. So there we go. Right then, shall we go somewhere else? Best summer signing. Now, obviously, bear in mind, this doesn't include the January signings, etc. Best summer signing. Stu and Andy both agreed. They said Dom Ball. Me and Rossi both agreed. We said Marcus Harness, which looked like an absolute fire pick for the first month or so of the season. And then obviously he's kind of tailed away. Had a goal cruelly disallowed, of course. Should have one more goal to his tally. Yep. Rossi, yes.
Was this before Leif Davis signed?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It would have been, wouldn't it? That's quite a big... I don't think it is, though, my friend, because you made mention of Leif Davis in your piece, in your prediction. Hutchie, I'm fairly sure.
I've chucked it.
It doesn't matter. What this proves is that Ipswich it shows the power of January a bit, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And the power of a few other bits and pieces that were done as well.
I'm gonna stand by the Dom Ball pick at the time, because I think the reasoning was that they needed a bit of just physicality and experience and grit to get out of League One. And I kind of thought, basically, I thought Ball might be the sort of Luongo factor that they eventually got in the second half of the season. And we'll never know if Dom Ball could have been that player, because injuries prevented him from doing so, didn't they? So, yeah.
We will see. Time will tell. And of course, he's now back on the grass. And there's a chance that he could evolve next season. All right, let's do one more and then we'll take some mailbag. MVP. Stewie said Morsey. Andy said Walton. Rossi, having absolutely nailed second spot, you said Shaunie Aluko, which even at the time seemed crazy. And I said Morsey. So pick the bones out of that one. Hutchie, I think we all said Morsey as player of the season. But Walton can't have been that far behind. When you look at those picks now, apart from obviously Rossi's nonsense pick, we were pretty close, weren't we?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with all of that. Aluko not so much, but look, I think I referenced Morsey in there as well. But I just thought at the time that Ipswich had such a good goalkeeper that would set them a mile apart, and he's obviously won the Golden Glove. But Morsey, if I was to name it now, I'd still say Morsey would be that.
Isn't it mad that Christian Walton, this is how good a season Ipswich have had. I reckon if you asked most people for their top three players, in no particular order, it would be Morsey, Chaplin and probably Davis. And Walton might not get into most people's top three. And he's won the Golden Glove. He's kept a clean sheet, and I think in half his games. He's had major turning point moments with penalty saves against Cambridge and Bolton. And you still might not get into a top three list of sort of players of the season. That tells you everything about the strength of this squad, doesn't it?
Is that because goalkeepers aren't sexy, though?
And generally, they are.
generally, they only get like major plaudits if the team is struggling a little bit, isn't it? because then, then they get a lot more chances to be great shot stoppers, as we always refer to them. So maybe
it's normally not a good sign, is it, when your goalkeeper's winning player of the year? And for that reason.
Well, Bart won it year after year, didn't he? Exactly. In a team that couldn't really score that many goals and had very little of inspiration elsewhere. Yeah.
All right, let's jump straight into a mailbag question. Hutchie, do you want to warm up those vocal cords for the mailbag?
Yeah, bear with me. I've got a little bit of a throat. So, mailbag. It's time for Mark, Andy, Stu, and Ross to dip into the mailbag.
There we go.
The other two were on mute, so thank you. Thank you for doing.
Don't you worry, professional here. Kevin Galley wants to know: my wife, being a secret viewer of the shows over my shoulder, is for some reason intrigued to know which of the kings was the most troublesome child at school. She has a very clear favourite. I wonder, Kevin, who that favourite would be for being the naughtiest at school. Would it be the hairiest of us all, Ross Halls? Were you a naughty child at school, Ross? You're a naughty adult.
Yeah, I was a little shit, to be honest. I feel sorry for my teachers back then. Sorry to Mrs. Cook and more other teachers that, yeah. Even though I liked school, I just didn't give a shit. Yeah.
There we go, Kevin. I suspect that's probably who your wife was thinking was the naughtiest. I mean, when we say wife's favorite, we know that Andy's got a big following in the ladies of the Kings of Anglia listeners.
Oh yeah,
we know that your the wisdom of Hutchie is legendary amongst the women of KOA. So maybe Kevin, maybe your wife's also been drawn in by the wisdom of Hutchie. Do let us know and let us know if that was what she was talking about. Anyway, moving on. Matthew Casburn wants to know: great work team this season. Thanks, Matt. Love listening to the pod. We love doing it. Question: do you think we may shock the championship next season and be in contention for a double promotion? Been done a few times before with our momentum, manager, and coaching, and of course, our financial clout. Hutchie, could Ipswich Town go straight up through the leagues again? And this time next season, we'll be talking about to launch an assault on the Premier League.
I think they can be in the conversation at certain points of the season. Definitely. I've got no idea where they'll be this time next year, but it's definitely not impossible at all that they're in the conversation.
Andy, you now know that come months down the line, Mark will now turn that into, I remember when Andy guaranteed they'd win the championship next season. So we've just had that moment.
You know me well. You know me well. Stu, what do you say on that, by the way, in terms of...
He guarantees. Yeah, he guarantees they can win the championship.
Yeah, and if they don't, I'll do the mascot thing.
This mascot thing has got to happen one day. Right then, let's do one more, shall we? FPL Tractor wants to know, you've mentioned correctly recently that Paul Hurst and Paul Lambert knew what was wrong at the club. We touched on, they had elements of the right idea, didn't they? But maybe didn't go about it in the right way. If they'd been appointed instead of McKenna, when many of those issues were sorted, how would they have done? Let's assume no baggage in this ridiculous scenario. So if Paul Hurst or Paul Lambert were appointed with the new owners, with some money, Marcus Evans is out of the club. They've got ambitious new owners. You've got Ashton there as well. Knows about structures and stuff, which Paul Lambert was often talking about. How do you think realistically, Hutchie, the likes of Hurst and Lambert would have done? Because we said before, Hurst was on the right track with the clear out, wasn't he, of the team? And Lambert was on the right track in terms of the structure not being what it should be for a successful football club. So how do you reckon they would have done?
I think a huge element of this is the coaching.
Yeah.
And McKenna and his team, I think, are a level or possibly more above those guys and their coaching staffs in terms of coaching. But Paul Hurst was big on sports science. He brought his own sports scientist team over and strength and conditioning teams and things like that. He had to fill that void himself. And the idea now for Ipswich is that you'd slot a coach and a little bit of their own coaching staff into an overall structure of sports science and strength and conditioning, health and fitness and stuff like that. So I think out of the three, I know if we're talking Lambert, Hurst, McKenna, I know very clearly which one of those I'd I'd quite like, but I think the others maybe talked a really good game that Kieran's been able to deliver, and I'd stick, I think.
Fair enough. Let's return then.
Who would make a better fist of it out of, if you had to pick one then, at the moment when the takeover happened, if you'd have had to go Hurst or Lambert with no baggage, no history?
Lambert. Matt Gill, I think, was a very good coach.
Yeah.
As part of that team. It's hard to ignore the baggage, but I think I'd probably go Lambert out of those. We're discounting Paul Cook, right? He had his go.
He had his go. Yeah. Interesting. Good question. Right. Let's return to our predictions.
I want to know. Which way would you guys go out of them?
I can see the reasoning for Lambert, but I would lean towards Hurst because I think he'd just done what he did in League One. He had the right idea. He knew there needed to be a big shake-up and the people too comfortable in the club and turnover of players and that kind of stuff. But he just went about it in the wrong way, didn't he? He went too nuclear, too early. And I would think maybe with a bit more backing and the right kind of structure around him, I don't know. That would be my guess. But obviously,
we'll never know. The recruitment side of it would be the intriguing one for me. Obviously, Paul Hurst kind of shopped in the market that he knew down the leagues, and
but he kind of had to, didn't he?
If you gave him a bit more of a war chest, I don't know how differently he would have played that. Obviously, we're trying to kind of go back to a moment in time and know things, whereas Paul Lambert has played for big clubs, you know, and he's been at higher level. But I know we joke about that, but it is true. He had operated at higher levels and things. I still wonder if Paul Cook, just one year on, if he'd have been the man to kind of, it's a bit like kind of following on from a bit of a poison chalice. His moment in time, just the stars didn't align for him, did he? I think, you know, it would have been interesting if he'd have come in just a year later. But hey, we'll never know. Thankfully,
I'm not sure. I think the coaching thing again would have been an issue. I think that's what's a massive part of what's made this Ipswich team so good is the coaching and things like that. And I don't think Paul Cook and his group had that.
No. Okay, fair enough. Let's return then to our predictions. This is an easy one to get out of the way. Leading scorer, because we all said the same thing. We all said Freddie Ladapo. It ranged from 15 through to 22, which was Ross's tip. He ended on, what was it, 21? What did he get in the end?
Well, he scored on the fight. He scored goal 100 of the league campaign.
Are we on the thorny issue of league goals or all
competitions
again? I don't want to start
this again. We're talking all competitions here. He definitely got, was it 20 or 21? One of the, anyway.
21. One
of the 21 he ended on. So Ross was pretty close there. And obviously none of us said Connor Chaplin. But I don't think any of us really would have foreseen that season, would we, Rossi, of Connor Chaplin scoring that many goals without actually playing as a striker?
No, I think we always knew Connor Chapman had goals in him, but not the goals he did score. But yeah, I think we just all went striker. They scored a goal, don't they? And that was, I think, the easy answer for all of us to pick for Ladapo, definitely with him, with his history in League One. So yeah, I'm not disappointed with that prediction. I think I'm pleased how Connor Chapman's done. He's done really well. But it's been shared around, hasn't it, the goals this season. You know, both having two players on 20 plus goals is incredible, really.
Yeah. Because I'll take this as it ties in. It's a question from Charlie. And I've tried to, there's plenty of time for us to start talking about who should Town sign in the summer and potential targets. We'll get to all that, friends. But I thought I'd take this question. Charlie wants to know, do we go all out for Hurst, regardless of what league Leicester are in? Stuart, you wrote something this morning about the two lone players that Town had in the past season. Hurst clearly had a huge impact, and TJJ, Tyrese John-Jules, has kind of been forgotten about, but had a great start. We all were purring about him at the start of the season, weren't we? What a signing he is, what a player he is. Obviously, cruelly injured. What do you think about George Hurst, Stewie?
What does all out constitute from an Ipswich Town perspective at this moment in time? I'm just thinking out loud in terms of
What
you're making the number one target, I guess, and you
number one target, yeah. And he's the man that you want to be leading your line on the first day, and you're kind of making him the main man. I don't know what that looks like in terms of budget. What it's going to be fascinating to see how much Ipswich spend. They will spend this summer. They will go again. I've got no doubt about that. What sort of level that's at, I don't know. If they're spending £1.5 million on players in League One, you would imagine they'll go beyond that for the Championship. When George Hurst went to Blackburn on loan last summer, and Andy can probably speak a little more on this, the inquiries we sort of made was that there was a ridiculous buy clause in that when Blackburn took him, like ridiculously high, because Ipswich have been after him for a while. That's an open secret now that McKenna's really wanted him. And I think Leicester put in a silly high number on in his option to buy. So where his level's at now, after the seasons he's had financially, it's really hard to kind of peg.
Should George Hurst be their main target? He's got a track record of doing it in League One, but do you think he'd be able to take that success up into the Championship and be the main man for a side, a very ambitious side, who aren't going to just be happy to be middling around in the Championship?
I don't see why not. He's got all the attributes that clearly Kieran McKenna wants and the coaching staff want, and they have a track record of improving players. So if you've got all the attributes and you think they're coachable, and there's room to improve, which clearly there is for George Hurst, because he's not crazy young, but he's not got that many miles on the clock really in terms of senior football. Then I don't see why not, because if you think there's more to his ceiling, and I think the ceiling's higher than what we've seen, I think he could have hit 20 goals if he'd played a whole season for Ipswich, for sure. Broadhead probably could have done as well, which imagine if they'd been in the team the whole year, how many Ipswich might have scored.
I think you can't judge him on his season. He had one season with Rotherham in the Championship where he was just getting a few minutes off the bench here and there, and Paul Warne was talking about how he felt sort of quite sorry for him, because who would have been up front for them that season? It might have been
Ladapo.
It would have been Freddie, wouldn't it? And they'd come up with a certain formula, and he was probably that little bit younger and rawer at that time. That was before the Portsmouth loan and everything. And so I don't think it's fair to kind of judge him. You look at his goal record, that's not based on many minutes in the Championship. Again, goes to Blackburn and just had players ahead of him last season. So personally, it feels to me like everything's kind of lined up for this to happen. The only potential kink, and we've been saying this for a while, is if Leicester go down. And then, you know, do they want to have a look at him? I think it's one of those scenarios where they think, well, we probably should have a little look at him first, and while they're waiting on other targets. And then, oh, a bit like Leif Davis, then, oh, we'll take him away on pre-season because he's another body. And then Ipswich are caught between a rock and a hard place. How much do you want him? How are you prepared to put all your eggs in that one basket and go, you know, almost into the season possibly without your main striker? I mean, the fact you've got Freddie Ladapo in the building, who scored goals and is trusted and liked by the fans, might mean that they are prepared to do that. I don't know.
If Town are going into the Championship season with Freddie Ladapo as the kind of recognised leading striker, Hutchie, is that a scenario you'd be happy with? If they're in a scenario where they're kind of waiting for Hurst or waiting for someone else, Ladapo's had a great season. Would he be the man you'd put your chips on in the Championship?
I'd put my chips on that not being the case, certainly not by the end of the August window. But they'll want to do their business early again. I'm sure they will. Ladapo, was it 10 he scored for Rotherham in their Championship relegation season in a relegated 9 or 10, team from the Championship? That's not decent, that's not too shabby, is it? So, and I think we've seen Freddie improve as a player over the season as well. He's certainly fitted into Kieran's system and everything that they're doing much better as the season's gone on. Yes, a lot of that has come from the bench, but he's been impactful from there. So, I think it's in a similar way to Stu was just saying about Hurst at Rotherham. I don't think we should really judge any of these players on well, most of them haven't got, a lot of them haven't got a championship kind of history. But I don't think we should judge any of them on what they've done in the championship before, because they're doing this, they're going to be doing this in Kieran McKenna's team, in this team that they've been such a massive part of getting promoted. So I think it's a different ball game for every single one of them, really, in terms of the championship.
On the striker topic, how many central strikers, out and out strikers, do you think they'll want to carry? Because I think this, you know, they started this season with it was Freddie, with kind of Caden and Tyrese John-Jules kind of mixed in a little bit going into the start of last season. It ended up really, once Caden had kind of transitioned fully to a winger, it was really just George Hurst and Ladapo. Do you want two really good ones pushing each other? Do you want two with a little versatile third option, which I would suggest might be like a, that's where I think Tyrese John-Jules would fit into this. Someone that you can't make any guarantees, unfortunately, what he's going to be like fitness-wise. But if you know you've got sort of two out-and-out strikers, you know you've got plenty of options in support. He's just that little wildcard option. If he's fit and you never know what he can deliver, then you can play him up front. You could play him in the broadhead role. You could play him in the number 10 role. That's kind of where I see him being, that little versatile sort of backup man, just to, as an extra squad player.
It's a long old summer, but honestly, if they started the season with Hurst, Ladapo and John-Jules as a three, I'd be all right with that.
How about you, Ross? You stay very quiet. Any thoughts on the striking position? Ross just removed himself. Ross has left the chat.
Yeah, that's it. I didn't like what that guy was saying. Oh,
exactly.
All rubbish. Sorry to say, Peavy, I'm not going to change this up.
You're going to agree with them.
Yeah. Although, you want that marquee signing, don't you? Maybe you do need, want that other sexy strike. I know Hurst, if he signed permanently, that would be a sexy signing. But I don't know, maybe another one, maybe. Just to be greedy. I'm going to be greedy. One more.
Something could come completely from left field, couldn't it? Like, this is the unknown, the complete unknown for Ipswich this summer, shopping in markets that they've not shopped in for a long, long time before. Maybe the foreign market comes into a little bit more. We hear about Martin Pert's contacts on the continent and further afield. Who knows? They might something come in. But it just looking at the way George Hurst talks and how long McKenna sort of tracked him, it feels like it all pointed towards that direction.
Hutchie, who is that? Was he a Dutch striker you identified in one of the summer windows? What, with a great name. What was his name?
Thijs de Linge.
That's it, Thijs de Linge. Is he still on the market? Can we get him?
Yeah,
what's he doing?
He's had a great season. He ended up leaving the Netherlands and went to Toulouse in France, and he's had a good season.
In Ligue 1.
In Ligue 1, yeah.
So he's a veteran European striker. He's proven. He's got a great name. Can we start the rumours now? Thijs de Linge to town?
Let's have a look. I'm going to tell you how many he scored.
Why you do that?
Because it was a decent number.
Well, you do that. This is tied in. Sweet Welsh Prince Harvey Davies wants to know, Stu, will Town break their transfer record fee this summer? Matteo Serrani, 4.5 million was the highest fee we've paid, if I remember rightly. So clearly they've just spunked a million a few times on players in League One. What do you reckon we're going to be talking about? Because that is the sexiest thing, isn't it? When you get into a summer like this, we know Town have got money. Fans want to see that cash. What do you reckon, Stewie?
1.5 on Davis, 1.5 on Broadhead.
Yeah.
Close to that for Harry Clark. It's not impossible, is it? I really don't know. There's obviously, they're going to be moving from salary cost management protocol, financial rules into FFP, which is slightly different, but we know how well thought out the planning is for all these windows. They're always thinking 2, 3, 4 windows ahead and making sure that they've got room, especially like the squad limit goes up next year. So at the minute, it's a 22-man senior squad that goes up to 25, I believe, in the championship. So there's more room to do things. So they'll have the war room going on at Portman Road or Playford Road and sort of moving the pieces around. And if they decide that they want to improve the squad, this is what we're talking about. We're talking now, and there might be a little, I was chatting to some Town fans the other night, and they said maybe a little bit of recency bias comes in. We're all on such a high about the manner in which Ipswich have charged over the line We've forgotten, it's been 4 years since the Championship, we've forgotten how grueling and how competitive it is, and maybe underestimating it a little bit. And Andy's right, there's, you go through the squad, yes, there is some decent Championship experience in there, but a lot of those Championship appearances are with the people like Keogh and Aluko that are at the latter end of their careers, people like Burns and Wolfie's not played in the Championship before. Some of those are still unknown quantities at the Championship. I'm sure Kieran McKenna is very aware of all those things. But to go back to the start, to upgrade what they've got is going to take a bit of spending. So it's not impossible, I would say. What do you reckon, chaps? Can you see 4.5? That's still a decent number, isn't it?
It's a big jump, isn't it? Would Ty Stinger cost 4.5?
He scored 18 goals. He might. I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that once you chuck every add-on and clause into a deal for George Hurst, that it's nearing that. If I'm completely honest, it's like that feels a little high potentially. But once you add everything in, it's not impossible that George Hurst comes out of the summer as Town's record.
Well, he only signed a 3-year deal there last year, didn't he? Before when he went out on loan to Blackburn, they handed him a new 3-year deal. So he's still got 2 years left on that. He's a good age. You're right. A lot of that will be weighted towards, as all these deals are, appearances and spread out over a period of time. But when I talked about that ridiculous sort of buy clause, I think it would have been higher than that figure that we're talking about last summer. So,
yep, definitely. Yeah.
So I think we're saying, sweet Welsh Prince Harvey Davis, there's a chance. And by the way, Harvey, there's one of these flying its way to you in black trucker cap, Kings of Anglia merch store, one for you on the way, old friend. And there is still chance, by the way, friends, to get 15% off at the merch store. Log on now. We'll share the link. Right then, the one I want to do next is the Aaron Drynan Memorial Award, the surprise package award. Stu said Torrey's John Jules. Andy said KJ Caden Jackson. Ross said Greg Lee. I obviously won because I said Cameron Humphreys. Do I win that, boys? Can we agree? I've nailed that.
Surprise package.
Yeah. Let's not forget Cameron Humphreys hadn't really played for the first team. I think, what did he come on at the end, last game of the season against Charlton?
He wouldn't be the player, if you asked me now to name in retrospect who the surprise package was. I don't think any of us got it right.
Who would you say then?
I'd say Cameron Burgess.
All right, yeah, I suppose. I might begrudgingly admit you got that. He'd be most improved though, not surprise package, right?
He could have a hand in both of those.
Okay. How do you feel about your picks, boys, looking back?
As always, these things are kind of coloured by injuries, aren't they? Like Tyrese John-Jules, I think, could have blossomed into being that before injury kind of took it away. We talked about the Don Ball factor. The door then opened for Cameron Humphreys, and I think he played a lot more games than he would have done during that spell because of people being out. So there's always circumstances that lead to these things. But out of those four picks, Cameron Humphreys, the surprise is that he played as much as he did, and he certainly... You know, we all knew he was talented, but at a really tricky point in the season, it was a sink or swim situation. And I think by and large, he swam, didn't he?
Wasn't a surprise to me. That's why I picked him. Ross Wishart on the same subject wants to know, despite breaking into the first team and greatly exceeding expectations, some would call him a big surprise package, Ross. Does Cameron Humphreys have a full season on loan in League One next year to further his development? Who wants to take this? Ross. Cameron. Oh, Hutchie wants to take it. Cameron Humphreys, what do you reckon?
Ross, you go.
Go on.
Yes, that's my input. Yeah.
You'd loan him out?
Yeah.
You'd loan him out?
Yeah, loan him out because he's still a young lad. You know, surprise package. As you said, and I think Championship football maybe a bit too early for him, and we've got other players in that position. We may even improve in that position, but I think it needs to be a good League One club. I don't want him to go, and because we've had a few loan players like this season, Rakeem Harper, and hasn't played games and whatever. And he's quite, like, he basically needs to do like an Idris at Leyton Orient, where he's played week in, week out. Okay, you don't need to get promoted with a team, but just be somewhere where he's going to be playing week in, week out, playing good football, the football that McKenna probably wants him to play. So I would. I wouldn't want him to go League Two, though. He needs to go League One, because that would just be too much of a top-down. So League One club, wherever, sounds good to me.
There is actually a question around this, actually, so I'll come to you after asking it. Tom Bain says, top work this season, Kings, as always. Thanks, Tom. The players we loaned out had mixed seasons. What do you think next season holds for each of them? So we talked about Cameron Humphreys there, Hutchie. What would you do with him? And what about the likes of Idris and Rakeem and Corey? What do you reckon?
Sounds like a boy band.
It does, doesn't it?
I don't think there's certainly not room for both Idris and Cameron Humphreys to be the young supplement to midfield. Cameron's had his year of training every day with McKenna's first team. I think he's going to need to play. He'll find minutes even harder here, because I think they'll recruit. But there's a real midfield shuffle that needs to happen, isn't there? Because there's Harper, Kamara, and El Mazzouni coming back into the picture who weren't here, really. And I feel sure that that's an area they'll strengthen. And then there's the question of whether they sign Luongo to a new contract as well. So midfield shuffle is going to be interesting. And Don Ball as well, to come properly back into it. So I wonder whether now might be the moment for Idris to find his new home and fly elsewhere. The other two, Ndaba and Baggett, again, I think it's an area they'll recruit in. So I think they're going to find it difficult. Corey Ndaba still hasn't made his league debut for Ipswich.
Yeah.
Which is mad, really.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Stu?
Not beyond what the guys have said. I think, Humphreys, I think, is would be a no-brainer. I could see the logic this year, and it paid off in terms of keeping him. I think the primary focus was, even if he had barely played a minute, Cameron Humphreys, they felt it was almost like it's better him learning in our environment under our top-level coaches than the risk of him going somewhere else and maybe not getting game time and fitting in. He's done that now. Next year, I think the step for him would be alone. Who else are we talking about? Matt Penny's coming back. I think he'll be released. That's pretty clear. It's not happened for him at Charlton. He needs to find a new home. Joe Piggott coming back. Yeah. It's pretty clear that he'll be moving on, I imagine. You've then got to find buyers and the correct deals for these sort of things.
But there's Gas Hand as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You would imagine that's probably another loan, I would think. The good thing is, I mean, there's been times in the past where if you've paid money for people, there's a feeling, I think, sort of certainly during the Marcus Evans era, that it's difficult to kind of wipe your mouth and take a real hit on financially on players that you've paid out for. I don't think that's that much of an issue now, that they'll accept that there's been a lot more hits than misses, and you are going to get one or two misses along the way. And if you have to sort of take your medicine and let people go, it won't hurt so much financially. So I'm sure there'll be one or two players like that, because you can't carry too big a squad. And the squad's already been quite big as it is. So
they're trying to make this squad better, aren't they? They're trying to beef it up for the Championship, and I'm not sure that many of the returning loans are gonna do that. So I think that probably points to which way a lot of those are gonna go.
Apart from Rakeem, of course, he'll be ace. Let's race through a few of these picks then, because we're coming up to an hour and I want to get through some questions as well. Right, top two picks were Stu, Sheffield Wednesday and Bolton. We all had Sheffield Wednesday, actually. Andy, Sheffield Wednesday and Peterborough, and myself and Roski. Great minds, Sheffield Wednesday and Town. So we were pretty close, Rossi. And Peterborough obviously in the playoffs, Bolton in the playoffs. So we weren't a million miles away, boys. Pretty happy with that, to be honest. And then Dark Horse, let's do Dark Horses. Stu said Shrewsbury. Andy said Bristol Rovers. Ross said Cambridge United, which I could see you're thinking, but it's not really worked out like that. And I said Derby. Now, for me, obviously, I've won that again, haven't I, Hutchie?
You have, but how was that allowed?
Well, I specifically remember asking you if it was allowed.
Yeah, because we shouldn't have allowed.
Let's not forget, Derby were in turmoil before the season kicked off. They couldn't even have a full team to play. And that's why I said there'd be the dark horse, because people look over them. No one's expecting.
I think for Derby to have been the dark horse, they needed to like go up automatically.
You're not giving me anything. I want these clear.
Yeah, we're a tough crowd. I'm not sure Derby.
I said finishing the top six.
Can Derby County finishing seventh classes?
But remember, before the season, people were generally talking about them just going falling out the bottom of the league. They didn't have any players.
I suppose.
And I said specifically to the Hutchman, I said, Hutchman, I know when I get this right at the end of the season, you'll say, how is that allowed? And you have just proved it. Correct. You were the man who said it was allowed. So,
well, maybe I was being too kind to you at the time. I don't think it, Mark, I don't think it falls within the spirit of the game. I'll be honest with you.
Spirit of the game. Nonsense. I'm winning all of these. Right then. Playoffs. Stu said Peterborough, Town, Plymouth and Pompey. So you've got, have you got there? Two out of the four. Andy said Town, Plymouth, Bolton and MK Dons.
Yeah, not great.
So you've got two out of the four. Rossi said Peterborough, MK Dons, Bolton and Derby. So two out of four. And I said Derby, Peterborough, Pompey. It says here I said MK Dons as well, but that can't be right.
No, that can't be right because you smashed these.
Exactly. So I got one there. Mike Bacon, no longer with us, obviously went to pursue other business opportunities. He said MK Dons would come second in the table. So that's why he's no longer with us.
Yeah,
okay,
didn't he?
Absolutely. And just finally, relegated. Stu said Forest Green Rovers, correct. Morecambe, correct. Cheltenham, no. Burton, no. Andy said Accrington, correct. Morecambe, correct. Cheltenham and Port Vale, no. Ross said Exeter, Forest Green Rovers, correct. Cheltenham, no. Accrington, correct. And I said Exeter, no. Forest Green Rovers, yes. Morecambe, yes. And Cheltenham, no. So we had a 2 out of 4 hit rate on all of those. Looking at these boys, we've not actually done that badly, have we? We didn't do too bad.
We've done Cheltenham dirty there, haven't we, between us?
Yeah.
I think putting also, MK Exeter. Dons in the playoffs counts as doing badly. they were relegated.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, before the season, things were looking brighter, weren't they? I know they'd lost the players, but anyway. So I think we've given ourselves a solid 7 out of 10 there, boys, and I'd probably get 8 if I'm honest, because I clearly did the best. Anyway, moving on. Ben Diath says, evening team, excellent work all season. Love every pod. Cheers, Ben. Question very obvious but needs to be asked. Before we talk about signings, who's being released or made available for transfer and why? Name names, please and thank you. So we've talked there about loanees coming back and potentially being moved on. Are there any other people you think might be made available? Stewie, what do you reckon?
We kind of covered it really with that kind of when the music stops, there's going to be not enough chairs for the central midfielders. So somebody's going to, whether you're giving another loans to people or just deciding it's time to change. Might there be some, now then you're taking it to another level of like if you're trying to kind of make room for upgrades.
Whose phone's going?
That's me. Just ignore it. It's fine. I don't know. I don't just kind of want to. It's the ones that have maybe been kind of fringe bench players that you try and sort of level some of those guys up. I don't know. But thoughts?
Is it,
gents?
Is it anyone, Hutchie, that. I mean, clearly Town have been promoted, so they're in a good place. But is there anyone you think may attract attention from higher up, given how good the season has been? And there's some, obviously, really highly rated players in there who've got big numbers this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they'll be admiring glances, but those admiring glances kind of come when there's a feeling they might be able to be prized away. And I don't know if people will look at Ipswich Town and think that it's a sort of a place to be taking players from. Potentially.
No, anyone who leaves, it will be on the club's terms. It will be because they've decided that
actually, yeah, if we do this, we can do something a bit better. And I'm reluctant to kind of throw names out there because it feels a bit disrespectful a week on from the season that they've just had. And we've been talking about how they've all played their part, both on and off the pitch. But, for example, Marcus Harness, if you've decided that he hasn't got, we're talking about players that haven't necessarily got a huge championship record. Hmm. You've got Nathan Broadhead sort of has got that position nailed down. You see sort of Kyle Edwards as someone that you want to stick with and you want to add in Tyrese John-Jules, you're looking at bringing back. If the right offer came in for someone like him, is that something that you would look to do? Trying to think who else would kind of fall into that category. Panucci Kamara, like we're talking about the midfield situation. Yeah, yeah. We haven't seen anything of him to judge that so far. But is that something that, you know, 1 year on, they have to kind of just go, actually, that didn't quite work and we move on from it? I really don't know, but it pains me to kind of say these sort of things because as we're talking about human beings here, we've seen sort of Panucci really enjoying the celebrations and is clearly a really popular lad there. But ultimately, there is no room for sentiment in football and Kieran McKenna will be watches so much football and he will be very in tune to the different challenges of the championship and what has been required in League One. You know, we've heard Sam Morsi talking about it already. They're going to have to improve individually, collectively, and recruitment and levelling up some positions will be part of that, whether it's starters or whether it's squad players.
Mm. Right then, Rossi, one for you. Oh,
can I carry on to that quickly?
Yeah, Chris, can you? Yeah.
If they're over 30, goodbye again.
You picked a Clarence name. Player over 30 to be MVP, Rossi.
Sam Morsi's had a good run, hasn't he? Thanks for everything.
But no. I just wanted to add that in just for
that. I liked it. It was good. You added value, Ross, and I liked it. Mark Job, evening, you fine kings, and thank you for all your coverage of ITSC throughout the 2022-23 season. Now the summer is upon us and fixtures will be out on June 22nd. God, it will come around quickly. Who would you like Ipswich to be up against on the opening day of the championship season? Clearly, I would imagine the fixture computer would be thinking Ipswich would be ripe for a marquee fixture on the opening day of the championship season, given all the narrative behind them. Rossi, who would you like to see either at Portman Road or be on the road for first game of that championship season? What would be your ideal game?
It's now, do I want to get one of the long journeys out of the way early?
Well, you won't be driving, so it doesn't make any difference.
You never know that stage.
No, I do know. I do know.
Yeah, one does know. Do you know what? Why not Plymouth? That'd be a good little starter, you know.
At Plymouth on the first.
Yeah, Plymouth.
That'd be spicy, wouldn't it? Because there's definitely some back and forth between the two sets of fans, or at least one set of fans, very much back and forth. Yeah. So you go Plymouth away on the first day of the championship season.
Get out of the way.
Hutchie, would you have a favourite? Would you like to see a big Portman Road occasion, someone like Leicester or even Everton, someone like that, at Portman Road on opening day of the championship?
It's going to be away because of, I think, Ipswich have applying to the EFL for an away game just to make sure everything's good with the pitch, given how extensive the renovation work is.
So, exclusive. Just drop that in there.
I think that's been quite widely discussed.
Oh, is
but,
it?
Okay. Yeah, I think so. But it's likely to be away, I think. And I've got two written down. One was Plymouth, because I think that would be fun, sort of rivalry renewed. And the other one is QPR away. I like Loftus Road. It's a fun ground. It's not too far. The away end would be packed for it. It's winnable. It's Ainsworth. I think that could be a good place to get the show started.
Stewie?
There's every chance I'm not going to be covering this one. I might be missing the opener. So from a selfish point of view, yeah, correct. just get a Plymouth trip out the way or something. Yeah. From an Ipswich point of view, something away from home that feels quite winnable, like something that you feel like you could go in and really sort of attack. I don't know, like Huddersfield away. Is Warnock done there now? Is his last dance over? Or I don't know.
He will be dancing till the end of time, Stu, as long as Sharon lets him.
Yeah.
I think it's a right
Mark Ashton Derby at Ashton Gate. Yeah, Friday night would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because there's always a championship game on the Friday night to kickstart that weekend, which will almost certainly involve one of the relegated teams. Leicester away on a Friday?
That would need to be kind of one of the relegated sides, I think, to be picked for that, wouldn't it?
Yep.
On a similar thing. Are we relegating Leicester already? They're not in relegated.
No, they are in the bottom, three, though, aren't they? And it's not going right for them. Did you see, by the way, their finances the other day? Brendan Rodgers was on £13 million a year. Their average wage bill is £94k a week. Incredible. I mean, I know they had some good times, but wow. Bono, our friend Bono, Matt, aka View from the U2. I don't know if he's going to add another nickname for the championship season. Maybe he should. Namaste, gents, he says. Well, what a season it's been. And having Kerr along for the ride was just nifty. Thanks, Bono. Just a simple one. I'll leave it quite open at this stage. And I'm coming to you, Ross. What are you most looking forward to about the 23-24 season and why?
Not going to Accrington, not going to Morecambe, not going to Forest Green.
That's where you go. No offence.
Yeah, no offence to those teams. Yeah. But no, thank you. Just excited to cover Ipswich Town back in the second tier, really, and play some bigger teams. Just looking forward to it. And it's going to be a summer of fun, I'm sure, with transfer rumours and all that sort of stuff, and us doing a podcast, looking ahead to the fixtures. But it's going to be another exciting season, I'm sure.
Have you got anything particular, boys, you want to say? Or should we move on to the next question?
Norwich.
Of course. We're talking about the championship. We're not talking about Norwich. Obviously, it feels like Town are going to have the best chance to beat Norwich in a long time next season, which will be nice, won't it? Hutchie, you're currently writing something about ranking all of Town's goals from last season. It's like a War and Peace sort of effort for you.
It's done.
It's done. And it's going to be out tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Log on, read it.
Did I need to do it? No. Have I done it? Yeah.
I have you all weekend.
Have you spent far too much time sort of deciding whether something was 86th or 87th in the list? Is that
what I've really struggled with is all of Connor Chaplin's goals. A lot of them really, really similar. And I've halfway through doing it, I've just admitted that I can't separate a load of them.
Just put all of them in.
No, middle. I've tried not to. I've tried to sort of look at each one of those on its own merits, but it's I've taken it seriously.
When you close your eyes, you must just see replays of goals in your head now.
They all blend into one. Was it the one where he took a touch? No, it's the one where he didn't take a touch and spun and put it in first time. That goes higher.
The one where he got loads of space in the box on his own. Daryl, anyway, DJ, friend of the show number one, Hutchie, this is why I'm asking you. Which of Town's goals were most outrageous/unexpected?
What does that mean?
Well,
unexpected.
Out of nothing. Outrageous, as in
Broadhead's free kick versus Sheffield Wednesday. Kind of was out of the blue, given the way the game was going and everything.
Broadhead's header at Barnsley was unnoticed by most people in the stadium. No one even knew that it went in. It took a good 5 or 6 seconds for anyone to even know that Town were ahead.
What about the Kyle Edwards goal from the touchline against Cambridge? That was
that's not ranked very highly in mine. Fluke.
Is it not? Ooh. You reckon he didn't mean it?
No, of course he didn't.
What number does that give? Give us an exclusive.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll give you an exclusive. I've got it here. It's really not very high, mate. That has come. Hang on.
Tent hooks.
82nd.
Whoa. See the fluke. whip on it.
It's a fluke. Incredible. Great. It was great to see him smiling afterwards, and it was a very important goal. But Ipswich scored some really good goals. Doing this has kind of reminded me just how good a lot of the goals that they scored were. Like, there are some goals that don't even make the top 20 in mine that are really.
Oh, he's frozen. I was gonna double down on the Broadhead free kick because we were told afterwards that he'd never taken a competitive free kick in his life, and he hadn't even really done them in training, and no one really knew he had it in his locker. So I think that also surprised the Ipswich staff and players as well. So
Hutchie, you briefly froze mid-sentence there. So Sue took the broadhead thing. What were you saying? There was something around...
Oh, he's gone again.
Oh, he's frozen again. This is great audio.
He looks really cross on that.
He does. It looks like he's really thinking hard about something. Rossi, how many of Ipswich Town's... Oh, he's back. You back, Hutchie?
You know, have you seen Interstellar?
Yes. One of the worst films I've ever seen.
Yeah. I quite liked it, but I feel
it's dreadful. Absolute shite.
Okay. Well, I quite liked it. And
okay.
It's like when Matthew McConaughey is trapped sort of between the wall. I could still hear you, everything you're saying. You just couldn't see me. And I was just there, just pushing books off the bookshelf.
Thousands of years in the future. I want to know, boys, while we're talking about goals, how many goals did you actually see for Ipswich Town, as in live? Because you're a lot of the time you're like this, aren't you? Like looking down. Are there any that kind of you're looking at? Christ, what was that?
I'd love to know a percentage on that.
Yeah.
That would be quite interesting.
I don't reckon I missed too many.
No.
Not working hard enough, actually. Typical.
And it doesn't, though. Well, I probably miss more than I should.
It's only live once. That's what Sky say.
Ross, what's going on? You appear to be talking to someone off camera with a big grin on your face. What's happening? Have you getting heckled?
No, that's my missus. Just came in, so she got me some bakery treats. So she got me some bakery treats. So
What's a bakery treat? What you got? Donut?
No, I don't know. I'll get him in a minute and show her. It's a secret, apparently.
Oh, it's a secret.
Eat it on the pod.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on the pod.
See how quickly you can eat the bakery treats. Yeah. Make a great video. Ben Robinson wants to know, one from an external point of view, and as a Crystal Palace fan, this is dangerous. I hesitate to even ask this. What do you think it will take to lure McKenna away from Portman Road this summer? Is there any chance at all that Kieran McKenna, who now will be, without doubt, one of the hottest properties in management, linked to every single vacancy, I'd imagine, that emerges, that he would be lured away? And if he was, what would it take? It would take a huge, huge offer and surely a very, very stable club. If you even think about it, Stewie, Hutchie, you want to take that? You're not having it, are you, Hutchie?
I can't see it at all. If I to be completely honest, I can't see it at all.
Why would summer. It? Other than money, I'm sure he's getting fairly well compensated at the moment. He's got everything going for him here. He's building a serious project, isn't he? He is literally the chosen man as well of that project team.
He's an ambitious man. Very ambitious man. He talks, you know, references, I have coached at Champions League level. He's been at that level and he intends to get back to that level. I think this Ipswich project will carry him a fair bit further. First, I don't think he'll be itching at all at this moment in time. He was very, very careful to pick this job in terms of all the facets behind it. What would it take right here and now this summer? I think it would need to be a club, for example, like Brighton. If Brighton's manager got spirited away and, you know, a club like that, I think would maybe at least make him have a real think. But I don't see that happening at all this summer, that scenario. But there'll come a point in time, no doubt about it, that will become a thing.
He will be linked to everything, though, won't he now? Like pretty much every job that comes up at a certain level in the Championship, in the Premier League, Kieran McKenna will be on that list. All right, let's take two or three more questions. John Watson, the King of the North, friend of the show, wants to know, what will happen first? You get photographic evidence of Ashton's balls on the table doing a deal this summer. He's going to be pulling them out a lot, I reckon, this summer. He'll be making some big moves. Lots of cash and testicles on the table. Stu gets to be mascot, just because. Andy's chosen to design the town away kit. I mean, that, to be honest, that's feasible. This is complete nonsense. Or finally, Ross passes his driving theory test. So of all those four things, I'd say Ross passing his driving theory test is probably the least likely. How are we on the theory test, Rossi? Have you tried another one yet?
No, there is one. Funny enough, me and we had some time to kill at the airport, and me and Tony did a theory test, and I think I did okay. Ask him about it, and hopefully he
did. You pass it?
Yeah, passed it. Yeah. So, okay. But that's once again, that's like a you know, test one.
Yeah, so. It doesn't count if Tony tests you in cheap old airport. That's
yeah,
that's fine. Just
I mean, Andy designing a town away kit is something I'd be quite interested in seeing, Hunchy. I don't know if you were given that power and you took it with both hands, what would you draw up? Do you reckon? Have you thought about it?
Definitely not the yellow one because I'd make Stu smile too much. I'm not in the business. I'm not in the business of that. I've got a lot of nostalgia time for the old green and maroon one from the mid 90s. I'd maybe remix that in my own special way.
Yes, please.
Nice. Well, we'll see what happens, won't we? And then where we go. Ollie wants to know who impressed from other League One sides beyond the big names. Is there someone who could be a hidden gem that we sign like Greg Lee? He says Jensen Weir stood out in a poor side on loan and an Everton connection for Stu. Nibs from Cambridge will try to pick Plymouth to Azaz, who's obviously a bit more of a star. Is there one you think off the top of your head, boys, that you'd be like, there may be some interest there?
Raksaki's the one that's been talked about previously, absolutely, isn't he? I don't know if you'd... Hidden gem is maybe a bit of a stretch, but he was in a mid-table League One team who I imagine one way or another will be playing Championship football next year. So if he counts, then he might be one.
I really like Connor Bradley at Bolton, particularly from that opening day of, well, both games actually against Bolton, but particularly in that opener, he's kind of a marauding right sider, can play right back, right mid, sort of bit West Burnsy, really. Was on loan from Liverpool. I'm trying to think who else jumped off the page. Like, I was looking back through the results, like Gassana had me jumped off the page, and then they went and got him after that Burton game. So I don't know necessarily if the market they're shopping in is to go and get the best players that they've just been up against in League One. I think they might be looking in other places potentially.
There's a really good midfielder at Exeter. Didn't get a lot of playing time, which I thought was cruel. I think he's got talent. Some Keem Harper, I think his name is.
I mean, like Jay, you mentioned Exeter. Jay Stansfield has done really well there. Is it like loan players that have been really good? I'm just going to gloss over the dream.
Yeah, I like how little time you had for that, Stu. You literally gave it the smallest possible fake laugh and then were like, shut up, Heath. Come on.
The dream.
Yeah. Right. Final question. And I like this. It's my question of the day. Robin Harper. Have we gone early in our mind games for next season via Wes Burns' hat? This, of course, is the hat that Wesley James Burns was sporting in Christchurch Park on Monday, I believe, anyway. How would you describe it? Like a fisherman's hat, wasn't it? Like a wide-brimmed one with a thing underneath the chin, like which he had.
A cricket umpire's hat.
Yeah, that kind of thing. It's the sort of thing. He teamed it with some kind of John Lennon-esque shades as well. It's the kind of thing you could only really get away with if you're a well-paid professional footballer, if I'm honest. What did you make of it, Ross? You're our noted fashion expert. Didn't have any three stripes on it, so you weren't approved. But
fashion expert, I think my other half will lead to that. It looked like the Undertaker, actually. The Undertaker's little style, little glasses, and
yeah. Do you reckon that was the look he was going for?
Yeah, I think so.
Did he have the big trench coat and all that kind of stuff?
You never know. You never know. That was the entrance. Yeah, when he arrived,
and with the hair down as back. Well.
Yeah,
People with those coats in public parks
make you nervous.
They're normally flashers, aren't they?
Yeah.
Rather than anything else.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, boys, on the hat?
What's the mind game element of this then? What minds is he getting into by wearing that?
I think he's saying you've got to be a confident boy to wear a hat like that out in public, I would say.
So it's a mind game on the whole of the Championship.
Absolutely.
Here I come.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Wes Burns, and
This is how good I am.
Yeah.
I'll wear this in public and no one's going to say anything to me. Yeah, I think that's where he's coming from. So that made it my question of the day, Robin. Good stuff. Rossi, is Sasha still behind the camera? Is she going to give you a bakery treat? I want your full attention, please.
Give him a biscuit. Give him a biscuit.
Yeah, I'll go and get it in a minute and I'll show you what I've got. Okay.
That sounds like a threat.
I'll show you what I've got.
Yeah. Right, well, we've come to the end of it, boys, pretty much. That's the final question. So with that, we come to, what are we, 75 minutes in? A podcast full of fun and frolics and bakery treats, perchance. Anything else to talk about, boys? Obviously, I want to remind people, KOA merch is always open. I think it's the last day today, 15% off. Hutchie's sporting one of the best-selling items, which is the Royal Blue KOA hoodie, which he's not going to show. There we go. Thank you. I've also got my KOA insulated travel mug, which have been going well. And Ross has got the all black everything blackout mug, Kings of Anglia. So get involved in that as well. Stu, is he going to pick something up here? No, he's not. He's looking at his phone. Okay, fair enough. So get involved in that. Support our sponsors. We mentioned Ginger Pickle. Our sponsor has just taken Ross to Amsterdam and looked after him. So looking forward to hearing the stories from that, Tony. If you like your pickle ginger, Google Ginger Pickle. Get involved with them for all your digital marketing, your social media, your Google rankings. I assume you talked a lot about this, Ross, did you, while you were in Holland? You're fully up on all that kind of stuff now?
I did ask you at one stage because I was intrigued because it is fascinating. Because, yeah, definitely with Facebook and stuff, like, you know, amount of stuff they, yeah, we won't get into that. But, it is fascinating.
Excellent. And also, clearly, use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery. All that excellent stuff they've got there, including the new Weed Whacker 2.0, which we've done our own little test on. And Hutchie's given it the nose up, or the thumbs up, rather. There we go. The double thumbs up for the Weed Whacker 2.0. Chaps, anything else to discuss before we take our leave? In terms of the going forward, we'll see how we go with the pods over the summer, depending what's happening. Rossi, are you going to continue with Fan Social? Is there going to be a fan social every week?
Yeah, I'll try my best to bring you that fan social. We're going to have a lot of Track the Girls Talk specials, sort of looking at their season as a whole. That'll be out soon with Blue and a special guest. And then we're going to do like season review, awards and all that, and a quiz, big quiz. Me and Blue will be going head-to-head. So he'll be crowned the top king or queen of the season because basically it's going to be like questions from the season, so see how our memories are. So yeah, check that out when it's out.
Something to look forward to. And in terms of content coming up, obviously we've got the goals, the incredible goals ranking from Hutchie will drop tomorrow morning. We've got Rossi's chat with Tommy Miller, which will be going out over the weekend, one of your in pictures. That was a good one, wasn't it, Rossi? Just talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, of course. I don't know if I've mentioned it already, because Tommy is back in management, or he's assistant coach at South Shields. But yeah, Tommy, you know, I know Andy knows him really well, but Tommy is such a lovely bloke. It was a good episode. We spoke just before the Shrewsbury player reunion dinner, and he just sort of great to see Jim back, of course, that day as well. But good chat. Spoke about his two spells at the club, playoff heartbreak, his penalties, his celebrations. It's a good chat, so check it out.
Yeah, that'll be dropping Sunday morning. I think that's going to go out for you. So get involved in that. And that's it. So we'll be back next week. Have a great weekend, whatever you're doing. No football for the first time in ages, as I still, of course, plenty to watch on TV. And we'll be back next week with a very special show indeed, which you will not, my friends, you'll not want to miss. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you next time.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.